Today on Real Life Radio.
God holds a trump card. It's called Romans 1. God says right there that not one person ever existing on earth has lived without his testimony of his eternal Godhead and power, so that every person is without an excuse. See, what about the guy running around in the Amazon? What about him? What about that guy? Forget about him. What about you? Everybody cares about the guy running around in the jungle with his underwear on. Forget about him. God's got him. What are you going to do with the gospel?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, continues a series called The Why Series. The desire to pray comes from knowing that God loves us and is always there for us. It's prayer that develops within us the loving character of Jesus and our own capacity to love and care for others. Together, we've been learning about the power of prayer, to live and move in an attitude of prayer no matter what's going on around us. We see how walking in the Spirit brings wisdom and clarity to those who ask for it. Even in the face of hostility, believers can find confidence in God's Word, knowing that the Holy Spirit resides within us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that to fight the good fight of faith doesn't necessarily mean that we did everything we were supposed to do. It doesn't mean we did everything perfectly. It means that in all we did, we allowed the Holy Spirit in our lives to reflect the character and the nature of Jesus. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And so that verse goes on to say, they ministered and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, now separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to do. Verse 3, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, they sent them away. Number one, into the clash, the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer at work is this. Be encouraged tonight, believer. Be encouraged because the Holy Spirit is sending us out. I'll prove it. How many of you are born again believers? Raise your hand. That's all the proof I needed to see. If that's true, the Holy Spirit is in you working this work, and that is to send you out. Now see, what does that mean? Does that mean we get, is that the word from God for us to move out of California? Hey, you know what? Go ahead and move. I think you're going to miss something though. Go ahead and move. I get it. But did you see the weather today? No, I'm joking. Not sort of, maybe not. It was amazing today. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit's moving. And again, I've said it over and over again, sound like a broken record, but the Holy Spirit loves to move against all the odds. Amen. He loves to move against all of the darkness. Amen. You and I are being sent out into this world that's around us. It does nobody good, with all due respect, it does nobody good if you're sitting in an igloo up in Alaska thinking that you've escaped the world. You're going to escape the world one day. It's called the rapture. Or if you die, that's called the rupture. Something breaks or you go up. Rapture or rupture, one or the other. That's how you get to the paradise place. But don't hide out in an igloo saying, no, I'm safe. I'm safe here. No, listen, you have been galvanized by the Holy Spirit. You raised your hand a moment ago, which implies that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's how you're born again. And his desire is to send you out. Every single one of us. You say, well, Pastor, I work at this company. I'm like the only one in the warehouse. You know what? You're not the only one in the warehouse. God is with you, and somebody somehow will come across your path. You say, how am I going to know when it's time to minister? When that person comes across your path? I'm absolutely, listen, I'm telling you, somebody asked me Sunday morning, I need to share the Lord, I feel so pressured, but this institution is set up in such a way where I work, it's impossible. And I said, no, it's impossible for you, it's impossible for me, I get that. And I told the guy, I said, do this, ask God to create the environment, the situation for you to share the gospel. I said, don't preach the gospel at your work, don't do that. God knows your heart. Ask God, because you are willing to open up the door for someone to come for you to give them the gospel. How am I going to know? Ask God to make it really clear. No, really. What's wrong with that? God, I need you to make it really clear, and I'm willing to do whatever you do for me. You know, let's do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. He wants to send us out. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. Acts 5, 14. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets. Hello? And laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow, now this is an unusual miracle, I must admit, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Yikes. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing back sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. I wonder how prevalent that is in our world today, and we don't think about it. We write them off as crazy homeless people wandering around babbling. What if they're demon possessed? And we kind of recoil, go down the other street. I understand the emotion, but what if God is sending us there to rescue them? And the Bible says they're all healed. Verse 17, then, of course, the professional religionist, then the high priest rose up, of course he did, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. This is a weird combo because it is, they're religiously based, but they're highly political. Rome can't function without these guys. These guys can't function without Rome. And they were filled with indignation. What a bunch of sickos. People are getting healed, and these guys hate it. And they laid hands on the apostles and put them into the common prison. But at night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, listen, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. You know what I love about that? The angel of the Lord had no regard for any law of the Roman Empire, nor of the opinion of the Sadducees, but said to the apostles, go preach the word. It was against the law. But the angel of the Lord said, go and stand in the temple and preach the words of this life to everybody, to all of those. So listen, God wants to send you out. And tonight I want you, I'm not joking, tonight I want you to really believe this for yourself. If this is too hard for you to handle, think on this. Show me a verse in the Bible where God says to the believer, I'm not sending you out into the world that's around you. It's given. It's an assumption made for the believer. That's why when you got saved as a Christian, you still live. Your parents are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. Wouldn't it be great if you just gave your heart to Christ? Lord, the moment you're forgiven, washed clean, that moment of that prayer, you just drop dead. Go straight to heaven. Think about that. Well, that's good for you, but it's not good for anybody else. You know how hard it is when I remember my sister, I got saved, and my sister, she was 10 years older than me, 10 years older than me, almost to the week, very close. And she was super sweetheart, but when she heard that I was a Christian, she was a spiritist, my sister. Ouija boards, crystals, pyramids, all kinds of weird stones. It was just strange. But she was a product of the Southern California hippie movement thing. But when I became a Christian, she watched me like a hawk. And she pointed out every wrong that I would do. I thought you were a Christian. Why do you still have that attitude? I thought you were a Christian. Who needed the Holy Spirit? I had my sister the whole time. And she's like this. Let me tell you, some of you work at a company, or maybe you're in a house. Maybe you're married to somebody. Oh, so that's what you guys learned in church? And listen, the reason why they're watching is because they're going like this. They're poking to see if your faith is real. They're like that. See if they can break you. Because if you say, that's it, I can't take it anymore. That's what I thought. This Jesus stuff is nothing. It didn't change you, so why do I need it? That's why they poke on you. That's why there's a clash in the world in which you and I live in. It's supposed to be this way. Number two to this is the power. Be encouraged, Christian. The Holy Spirit is empowering us. According to the Bible, he must send us out. He's got to keep his word. Number two, according to the Bible, he's committed himself to be in our power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, they had church. He commanded them, Jesus commanded them, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, translation, Jesus, this is awesome. You died on the cross. You rose again from the dead for our sins. So that's all behind us. And now you appear and disappear, and you are totally, absolutely glorified. So it makes total sense to us that now the kingdom of God begins. They're talking about the millennium. So the millennium begins, right? The 1,000-year reign of Christ that we read in the Old Testament, Jesus. Now it begins, and Jesus says, nope. Nope, there's some work to do. He said to them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Is that awesome? Hey, listen, are you not a believer tonight? Are you a skeptic? Question. This is 2,000 years old. Did this happen? Skeptic in the house, skeptic watching. Jesus said, you're going to get saved right here in Jerusalem. And the reason why I'm not going to establish the kingdom yet, I'm not going to set up my reign yet, is because you got work to do. And the work that you do, it's going to go to the ends of the earth. And the point is this, has it not happened? Are these words not true? Did not the gospel get into every nook and cranny on this earth? And even if it doesn't, what does God say? God holds a trump card. It's called Romans 1. God says right there that not one person ever existing on earth has lived without his testimony of his eternal Godhead and power, so that every person is without an excuse. See, what about the guy running around in the Amazon? What about him? First of all, why do you care about him all of a sudden anyway? Well, what about that guy? Forget about him. What about you? Everybody cares about the guy running around in the jungle with his underwear on. Forget about him. God's got him. What are you going to do with the gospel? What are you going to do with the love of God and the cross and the empty tomb? Forget about that guy. It's amazing. And so he says that you shall receive power. Yes, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now look at verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus ascended back into heaven. And by the way, that fulfillment of that promise of the Holy Spirit coming, you know it. We just celebrated it on May 31st. They all were waiting. They waited. Think about it. They waited and they waited and they waited. And on the 50th day, they were in the upper room and they were praying. They were assembled together and the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And they began to speak the glories of God to the surrounding regions of the world at that point with all these amazing languages. They spoke in Cappadocian. They spoke in Bithynian. They spoke all of these languages. They spoke Arab. They spoke those of Cyrene. The Bible's listed in the book of Acts. And they said, how is it that these Galileans speak our languages from those various parts of the world? The wonderful works of God. Amen. God still wants to do this. Listen, there's a lot of people you know, they'll never come to church. But when you go and tell them, hey, this is what Jesus did this week in my life, they're powerless over you now. They have no comeback to that. When you tell them, man, you know what? I haven't been to church in years, and this whole COVID thing's got me depressed. Went to church, read a Bible verse, went home, was reminded what God said to me. I just broke down in tears with joy. God moved my heart. And the guy's looking at you, he's just like, they don't know what to do about that. They can't come back to that. It's a personal testimony that every believer has. And it's powerful. The great, wonderful power of God in your life, a changed life. But the Holy Spirit's power is there. Jesus said, you're going to receive power. By the way, here's the good news. That waiting was then. You don't wait now. You don't have to wait now. Well, what do I do? Well, how do I wait? What does waiting look like for the power of the Holy Spirit? That's then. You don't have to wait anymore. He came and he came once and for all. He's moving. And he's here tonight. He's everywhere. But are you open? Number three, be encouraged. The Holy Spirit is calling us. He's calling us. He sends us. He empowers us. He calls us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 starts there by saying, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing, this is a huge statement, of our great God and Savior. This is awesome because in the Greek, whoever God is, he's the Savior. Whoever the Savior is, he is God. You can't separate it. You can wrestle with this the rest of your life and you can't change it. Titus 2:13 is one of the most profound statements of Christ's deity in all of the scripture, that our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's coming back again. He's calling us. And you say, how do you put that passage of scripture with this point of the Holy Spirit calling us? This way, the Holy Spirit is working in your life with a goal in sight, with a target. He's got a plan. And the plan culminates when Christ comes. He's got a map for your life. A GPS. And it's known to him. And I would hope that tonight you get very excited about finding out what your GPS setting is for your life by God. He's calling us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, 6, the Bible says, and this is Paul now, by the way, this is a tender moment. I tell you, this is one of those moments in the Bible. If you just meditate on this, it will move your heart. Paul is old now. He's old. According to church history, this is external information. This is historical church information. It's not in the Bible. According to church history, Paul was a very, very petite man. He wasn't a big guy. We know from the book of Acts that he was an extreme student of the Bible. We know that according to church history that his eyes were very inset toward his nose. His eyes were very close together. And his nose was very bird-like, like a beak. He was a very unattractive person. His eyes squinted. He was squinting. He squinted often because he had eye disease. And he almost lost his eyesight completely by the time he died. We know that he mentions it a couple times in some epistles. But that he was severely bow-legged, probably from riding a horse or camel with all of his life's journeys. Severely scarred from all of his beatings for Christ, but an intellect that has quite possibly not been matched. He was an absolute genius of a man. Not easy to listen to. His voice was not comfortable. He was not the orator. The Bible says he was mighty with his hand, with his pen. The Bible tells us now he's about ready to be beheaded in Rome. If you'll ever get a chance to go, I don't know if we'll ever get a chance to go to Rome again in this life, but you can go to the Mamertine prison where Paul spent his last night on earth. It's still there. It's kept for you to visit. He said, and he wrote from that location, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." You'd think he's getting on an airplane. Doesn't sound like a man that's going to die in a moment. Listen, my departure, he doesn't say my end is at hand. He says my departure is at hand. I'm going somewhere. Paul, where are you going? With no bags, with no luggage. I have fought the good fight. This is what I want for all of you. This is what I want for me, for us. Yes. To lay your head down on your deathbed and be able to say, you know what? Of course I could have done better. Of course I could have prayed longer, could have read more, but I fought the good fight. I finished my race, the race. Definite article before the word race, it's his race. You have your race. I have my race. Don't try to run somebody else's race. You look like an idiot. You run your own race. Don't try to be the next Billy Graham when you're not. Everybody in Calvary Chapel tries to be Chuck Smith. Oh, you know, and you try to, no, don't do that. It doesn't work. God died for your sins, not your personality. That's important to know. Stop trying to be somebody else. He made you the personality that you are. See, well, I don't know. You don't need to know. Just yield it to him. Okay? And finish your race. You stay in your lane. I'll stay in mine. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is funny. He's going to get his head cut off. Where do you put a crown? He's talking about the moment he dies, he's in glory. He's going to be getting a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. His calling us is to a destination. His calling in your life, he wants to use you now because he's got a target landing. He's got a termination point for your life. And you want to live your life for Christ to the fullest until that moment happens. And when that moment happens, you'll be able to say, I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. Number four, be encouraged. The Holy Spirit has ordained us. You say, what do you mean ordained us? I thought you got to go to seminary to be ordained. I thought you had to go to university to be ordained. Listen, God ordains.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10. We're glad you joined us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. A series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, when you think about it, it's amazing just how much God really loves us and protects us. When we choose to surrender our lives to Him, even in our darkest hour, we can have the confidence that God is there for us. That's why it's so important to spend time in God's Word, to pray, and to just listen to what the Spirit of the Lord wants to say to us. And devotional time is indeed one way that we can do this. Simply head over to our website, that's jackhibbs.com. You'll get weekly devotions, and once you're there, you'll see how Pastor Jack takes a verse from the Bible and makes it personal. It's something that we can prayerfully read and apply to our daily lives. Pastor Jack also has made available his previous devotions, so you've got plenty to choose from for every day of the week. Soon, you'll be immersed in the Bible and writing your own personal account of what that verse means to you. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.